Good morning, everyone. This is John Alls, and I'd like to welcome you back this morning to the weekly radio broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. Let me remind everyone of the resources available on our websites. At www.independencebaptist.org, you'll find many different books, articles, and audio messages available. We also post our Sunday and Wednesday sermons to sermonaudio.com/IBC. But let's go ahead and get back to the here and now as we turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds.
This morning, we'd like to speak on the subject, three things every person should do. We'd like to start in the book of Luke, chapter number 19, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says here, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That's four times. In verse number 9, here's what Jesus said. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is an amazing story, is it not? About a little man named Zacchaeus who climbed up into a sycamore tree just to see Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said that Zacchaeus was saved. Let me ask you a question. When was Zacchaeus baptized? When did Zacchaeus join the church? It's not recorded there at all. You know, the most amazing thing that a person could ever do is just to trust Christ and let Jesus Christ save their unworthy soul. That's what Zacchaeus did. And Jesus said that salvation is come to this house. That is, he was a believer in Jesus Christ. And it was very evident that it was so. You know, baptism has nothing at all to do with salvation. Baptism is a good thing to do as an answer of good conscience toward God, but it is not necessary that a person be baptized in order to be saved. Now, somebody would say, well, Jesus Christ was baptized. Well, sure he was. But you know what? Jesus Christ was never even saved because he's the Redeemer. But you know, Jesus Christ was scripturally baptized. The Bible says that he walked all the way down to where John was. It took him a couple of days to walk there, and he was baptized. Why? As the answer of a good conscience toward God. That's what it states in the book of 1 Peter 3, verse 21. If you know that you're lost, it is time that you admitted your lost condition to yourself and to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might be saved, that you might be forgiven of being lost. You see, repentance and faith is what is necessary for salvation. Repentance is acknowledging sinfulness in the sight of Almighty God, and that is exactly what Zacchaeus did. Faith believes that God can do what you cannot do. It is trusting God. You see, that's what faith is. You're believing in God and not believing in yourself. I believe today that many lost people know that they're lost, but they never declare this to themselves or to God. This is the main problem with false professions today. People believe they can be saved without acknowledging that they're lost, that they're hopeless and that they are justly condemned to a devil's eternal hell and destruction. Lost means to perish. Lost means to be destroyed or to lose. Salvation is of the Spirit, you see. Some people believe that if they just hide their sinfulness, they're going to be all right. But you know, the Bible says you can't hide that for eternity. You can't do that. The second thing we want to look at is scriptural baptism. You know, Zacchaeus was saved without ever being baptized. There's no record of him ever being baptized. But once a person is saved, they ought to publicly declare that hidden internal salvation by the open external exercise of baptism. There are examples given to us in the Bible about people being baptized. But people are not baptized in order to be saved. But they're baptized because they already are saved. Now look with me. In the book of Matthew 3, in verse 7 through 12, John the Baptist only baptized those that were already saved. John the Baptist never did baptize anybody in order to save them. I trust that you will search the record for yourself. The Bible states in the book of Matthew 3, in verse 7 through verse 12, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance," or that is, bring forth fruits that are suitable for repentance. "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance," or that is, because of repentance. "But he that cometh after me is mightier than I," talking about Jesus Christ, "whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather wheat into his garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." You know, that's what John the Baptist said, because John the Baptist refused to baptize some people that came to him and said, "We want to be baptized by this new way, this new thing." You know, John said, salvation must come first, and then baptism. It is not that a person is saved whenever they're baptized, because John refused to baptize those that did not believe. Acts 2:38, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached that baptism was for those that already had remission of sins. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for," that is, "because of the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In Acts 8 and verse 36 through verse 38, Philip baptized the eunuch, but he baptized the eunuch only after the eunuch confessed salvation. In Acts 16, verse 30 and 33, Paul and Silas baptized the Philippian jailer only after they were assured of his salvation. The Bible states, "And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway." You see, baptism is putting on Christ after that a person has been saved. The Bible states in the book of Galatians, chapter number 3, and verse 27, "As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Romans 6, verse 1 through 7 states that our being baptized shows that the old man of sin is dead and we are going to live in holiness and righteousness as God wants us to live. After that a person has been saved and after that a person has been baptized, then that person needs to understand that they need to serve God in his local church. The Bible states in the book of Ephesians 3 in verse number 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. In 1 Timothy 3 in verse number 15, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The Bible states, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The thing about it is that if you want to know what truth really is, you will have this truth only in the Lord Jesus Christ. The complete truth is found in one of the local assemblies that belong to Jesus Christ. It is impossible to stand for the complete truth of God without the truth of the local church. The church is an assembly of saved, baptized believers who have come together to worship God. It is a place of encouragement. It is a place of renewal of strength. It is a place of fellowship. The body of Christ is the Lord's local church. In the book of Colossians 1, verse 18, the Bible states, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You know, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's always local. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is always visible. It is always capable of being assembled together. It is never an invisible church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is never an invisible church either. In Romans 7, verse 4, the Bible states that baptism shows our deadness to the law and being alive unto Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, the Bible states that ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And Paul is writing this letter, the letter of 1 Corinthians, to the local church, not to saints just everywhere, but it is a letter that is written to a local church. The Bible also states in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, in verse 12 through verse 14, God has supplied everything that is necessary for the edifying of the body of Christ. The Bible states, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? Verse number 12 answers that question. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, look at verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, why did all this take place? Verse number 14 states that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. You know, the truth is that the Lord wants you to be saved. The Lord wants you to trust in him. And then after that you trust in him, Jesus Christ wants you to be scripturally baptized. Jesus Christ wants you to be settled in this thing of Christianity. He doesn't want you to be up in the air about it at all. Jesus Christ wants you to be firm in the things of God. Well, the time has just slipped away this morning, but we want to take this opportunity to invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. We meet at 124 South Main in the city of Forestdale. We have our Sunday school beginning at 10 o'clock this morning. And then our morning worship is at 11 o'clock. Then the night services begin at 4:30. And so we trust that you'll come and just enjoy the preaching and the teaching and the fellowship of God's people. Thank you now for listening.